Before we watch our final Advent video, let us stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read one verse of Scripture that will then go into the message. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful that we can come together as a church family to celebrate the reality that Jesus was born. And that in the face of Christ, you have manifested the Godhead in fullness. And that if we would just behold him and see him and look to him, we might know you. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning knows you, that they have a relationship with you, and that if not today, they would come and receive the greatest gift ever of salvation that they can have through you. Lord, for those of us who know you, for those of us who believe in you, may you just encourage us today to see the true purpose and let it be a real joy in our heart and soul of knowing that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let us watch our final Advent video.
When a puzzle is finished, what's next? You could simply let the kids break it up, put it back in the box, and start this tradition anew next year. You could decide to frame it as a beautiful reminder of a family memory. But this puzzle and the picture that is revealed when everything came together seems like it deserves more.
That's a really great picture of the nativity scene.
I think you kids should hear about the story in the Bible of where this picture came from.
Whether it's a broken puzzle or a broken world, Jesus Christ coming to this world, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his promised return put everything back together.
Amen. Amen. You see, our puzzle is now complete. You saw Pastor John slyly sneak in at the end of the message last week and place that piece in. As we get the full picture of what it means for Christmas. As the pieces of the puzzle began to be put in place, God was unfolding the revelation of his grace. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that they would be taxed, and Mary and Joseph being from Bethlehem, went to Bethlehem. And as they were traveling there, and as they approached the city, there was no room for them in the inn. And so there they had a stable where Jesus was born. After Jesus was born, 8 days later, they have the child Jesus, the baby Jesus, and they're taking him to the temple so that they can offer their firstborn son and give of their offering of thanks to the Lord. And as they are going to the temple, they are introduced to a man by the name of Simeon. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.'" Simeon is an interesting man. He is a man who is a devout man of faith. And like in the Old Testament, there was moments when the Holy Spirit would fall upon certain individuals to empower them to do certain tasks. We know that the Holy Spirit was anointing David as he was king. The Spirit of the Lord would fall upon the judges, Samson, when he would gain his strength. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell every single individual like he does now in the New Covenant, but he was present and active nonetheless. And in Simeon, the Spirit of God was opening up his eyes. Remember that we read when we started that the Spirit of God opens up the eyes, that in the face of Jesus we see the fullness of God. And the Holy Spirit was enlightening and illuminating Simeon as he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the redemption of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel. What was that comfort? It was their Messiah. It was the deliverer. It was the promised one. It was the one that all of the Old Testament had foretold was coming. And this man believed with all of his heart that he would see the Lord's Christ, and that he would not die until he would see him. In fact, the Lord had revealed that to him, that he would not taste death until he saw the last piece of that puzzle being put in place. Until the picture of what the redemption and consolation of Israel might look like. So let's go back and revisit verse 25. Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the redemption, the hope that the Messiah would come. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before the Lord, before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Some of your Bible translations might say the Lord's Messiah. The Lord's, or it might say the Lord's anointed. Messiah, Christ. It means anointed one. That he was expecting to see the anointed one, the appointed one, the one that had been foretold in the scriptures for centuries. For hundreds of years, that there would be a deliverer that would come and redeem Israel and would be their Messiah and be their Lord. He was waiting for that one, the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and bless God. Now let's just pause just for a moment. Have you ever anticipated receiving something very good? And you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, children. I like having the kids in the house with us this morning. What about you? Isn't it good? I'm glad that they're here. Kids, how many of y'all have wanted, you asked, you put a gift on your list, and you wanted it, and you wanted it, and you wanted it, and your parents say, you just got to wait till Christmas, got to wait till Christmas. Any kids get excited about, well, yeah, anybody else, any kids? All the youth. Yeah, you get excited in anticipation. You're waiting, and when you get what you've been waiting for, when you get to see it, it brings so much joy. Simeon had been promised by God that he would see the Lord's Christ, and he had been waiting, he had been praying, he had been praying, he had been waiting, he had been waiting, and finally, the day comes that Joseph and Mary brings Jesus into the temple, and the Spirit of God begins to prompt Simeon. And I believe the Spirit of God begins to speak to Simeon and say, you see this child coming in right now? You see that mother? You see that mother holding that baby? That's the one. That's him. He is the anointed. He is the anointed. Now, I know every mother's believe that their kid is special. But this mother's kid really was. He was the anointed one. He was the chosen one. He was the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And he wraps up, he carries this baby, he puts the child Jesus, the king child, the Lord's Messiah, in his arms. And he begins to bless God. Now, could you imagine been able to hold the Christ child in your arms. He was eagerly waiting and anticipating for this moment. And he holds Christ, he holds Jesus in his arms, and he blessed God, and he says this. Look, notice there in verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, you have been faithful to your promise. You have allowed me to see the Lord's Christ. And now I am ready to die. I can die in peace because I know that I have seen what you have promised. How many of you all believe that being a follower of Jesus Christ, that it changes how you view death? Huh? Does it not change how you view death? Because when you are a believer in Jesus, you have the hope and the assurance that no matter what happens to you, when you die, yet you live. That this world is not all that there is, that there is a better home awaiting. How many of y'all are excited to know there's a better home waiting? As good as what we have here, it's better there. And that hope that we have, it should cause us to have peace. Because you see, Jesus, he is the advent of peace. He is the peace of hope, the joy of love. He is our redemption. And so he knew that peace that he saw coming in there of Jesus, of the Lord's Messiah. That's all he needed to see. That's what fulfilled his life. You know, it's been said by some, it's important for you to see the salvation of Christ before you see death. What do you think? I think you need to be able to see who Jesus is, to be able to recognize what he's done. So he says, I'm ready. I can depart in peace. Why? Look at verse 30. For my eyes have seen your what? My eyes have seen your salvation. He looked at this baby and he was able to see the redemptive plan of God, knowing that what he had prophesied was coming true, that the salvation was drawing near. He might have referenced and thought of maybe Isaiah 52:10, where it says, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Or Psalm 98:3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Or Isaiah 49:6, I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The promise of the Messiah for the Jews was not just for their own people, but it was that always they were a chosen and royal priesthood so they might be a blessing to the nations. And Simeon, when he recognizes that the Lord's Messiah has been born, that there is salvation that is coming and that has now come. That word salvation. And that's a good word, isn't it? To be saved. Now you might, you know, our culture today, I know that this is a church word, right? Have you been saved, right? And if you grew up in church, you know what that means, don't you? If you grew up in church, have you been saved? We know what that means. But from our culture now, in a post-Christian type of culture that we have in, where most people are not brought up in church, you might ask them, have you been saved? And they might say, from what? Well, what do I need to be saved from? And then we would say, from your sin. Well, again, if you've been brought up in church, you know what sin is, don't you? Huh? How many of y'all church growing up folk know what sin is? We know what sin is. But now our culture, again, not growing up in a world of church, might say, well, you need to be saved from your sins. And they might say, what sin? And then we could just go down a big list and we could quickly find out what sin is. Well, you know, the Bible gives us 10 in the Old Testament, right? One of them is you shouldn't lie. And you ask somebody, have you ever told a lie? Now, I wonder how many of y'all here this morning has ever told a lie. Anybody ever told a lie? Oh, yeah. Every single one of us told a lie. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just lied. Yeah. That's right, Chase. You tell them. You know I'm right. You know I'm preaching truth. Right? Have you ever stolen anything? Anybody ever stolen anything? So I've never stolen anything. Let me ask you this. Have you ever cheated on a test? Anybody cheat on a test? Anybody look over on somebody's answer? That's stealing. No, I'm just checking to make sure they got it right. No. Let me ask. The very first one says this. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You shall have no other gods before me. Let me ask you this. Have you ever loved someone or something more than you've loved God? And I would say all of us at some point could say yes, we have. Whether it be our career, whether it be something that we purchased, that we just worked so hard to get, that we sacrificed all of our time and energy and effort to get it. Or maybe it's someone, maybe it's a spouse, our children, or somebody in our family that we've elevated them into the position of our God. That's called sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. You know what that verse actually means? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know what falling short of the glory of God is? It's missing the mark. It's like shooting archery, okay? Now, I'm not very good at archery. I sin a lot in archery. I miss the mark quite often. But when you're shooting an arrow and you've got the bullseye in target, it is if the arrow starts flying towards the bullseye, the target, and before it ever gets to the target, it falls short. It doesn't even hit it. That's what it means to sin, to fall short of God's glory, to fall short of perfection. Because if you don't need saving, that means you're perfect. Only a perfect person doesn't need to be saved. Because only a perfect person has never sinned. And there's no one in this room, including the man that is preaching this morning, is perfect. For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all need to be what? Saved. So saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from our sin against God so that we might be made right before a holy God. Because what sin did is it destroyed our relationship with God, and it makes us run from him, not to him. To disobey him, not embrace him. And sin causes us to do everything opposite of what he would have us to do. It causes us to not seek him. But God's love is so great that he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God came down so that we could be made right with him. That we could be forgiven. So Jesus is the perfection. He is the one who lived it perfectly. It says here that he saw the salvation when he saw Jesus. Verse 31, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples that you have prepared. You know what Simeon saw? He didn't see just some accident. He didn't see some chance that this was the Messiah. No, he saw a preordained plan from God Almighty that this was prepared. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came at the appointed time. You know what that means? At the right time. Just right when he was supposed to come. For God had the plan fixed from all eternity. And he came just when God had ordained him to come. And guess what? He is coming back again. And you know when he's coming back again? At the right time. You say, well, when is that? At the right time. It'll be at the right time. It'll be when God says it. God sent Jesus at the appointed time. It was prepared. What was it prepared for? Salvation for who? Look at verse 32. He was a light for revelation to the Gentiles. These are the pagans. These are people outside the covenant of God. It was a revelation of light so that we could see that we could be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred in the kingdom of light. So it was a light for the Gentiles of revelation, and it was a light for glory for the people of Israel. Why? Because Israel was always to be a light to the world. The Old Testament talks about Israel being the son of God. And in those languages and in those prophetic statements and comparing Israel, the nation, to the son of God was a type of the son of God that was coming, that would be the Israel that would come and save people from their sin. That Jesus, it would be Jesus who was coming, who would be the son of God. Not just a son, but the son. And he would be the revelation of light. What did we read at the very beginning? For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus, to shine, to tell, to proclaim. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 tells us this. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. This is our faith in Jesus. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Talking about the old covenant. But their minds were hardened. For this day, he says, for this day, this is when Paul was writing during his day, for this day, and it would be true even now, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through who? Is it taken away? Only through who? How do we see God? Through the face of who? Here he says that only through Christ, right, is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Who's the Lord? Jesus. He is the Christ. What's he saying? Unless the Holy Spirit of God shines the light of the truth of who Jesus is in your heart, until you can see Jesus like Simeon saw Jesus, that when he saw Jesus, he saw the consolation of Israel. He saw the salvation of God. He saw the ordained one who was coming, that was prepared by God, that would be the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the light of glory for his own people. He saw Jesus for who he is. And when the Holy Spirit of God let him see Christ as who he truly is, then he said, I can depart in peace. When you see Jesus for who he truly is, then you will know what Christmas is really about. It's about celebrating the reality that Jesus has been born. Yes, we know this is probably not the day that he was born on, but we set aside a day to recognize that he in fact was born, and that he did come, and that he is salvation to the world. And so, and there in verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 3, and we all with unveiled face, those of us who are believers, who've had the veil taken down, that we've seen Jesus for who he is with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul says, as we behold the face of Jesus, as we see Jesus for who he truly is, we are brought into a relationship with him. We experience grace and mercy. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And as we behold him and look to him, we are in the process of being transformed and renewed every single day to be more and more like Christ. Do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. How do you grow as a Christian? You see the big picture, you see Jesus for who he is. How do you grow in your faith? You behold Jesus. The more you look into the face of Jesus, for Jesus reveals God to us. The more you read your Bible, the more you see the light of revelation of who Jesus is. The more you pray, you see the light of revelation of who Jesus is. And this is to the glory of Israel, that God might be glorified. And we know scripture says that there is coming a day, and we may be living in it right now. I don't know. I know that years ago when Israel became a nation, that there was a messianic movement that has been birthed, and there's many Jews who are coming to faith in Jesus. And Paul says that there will come a day when the olive branch that was cut off so that we might be grafted in can easily be grafted right back in. And that there will be a harvest of those of the Jewish faith that will come, that will see Jesus for who he is. Simeon. Man, what an interesting guy, wasn't he? He got to hold Jesus right there in his arms. He got to see salvation. If we could be like Simeon. You see, Simeon was able to hold the author of life in his arms. And as he held him in his arms, he feared no death, because he knew where true life was. He saw salvation, the hope that he had been longing for. He saw the comfort of his people. And he even saw beyond to where Jesus and what he was going to do. He foretold the gospel. Now, Simeon, who does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling him the way that the new covenant believers do, how much more should we see Jesus? When we step back and we look at the big picture and we see all of the pieces that came together to form, when all the prophecies of Scripture begin to unfold, and when Jesus was born, and when he lived his life. You see, Simeon only got to see his birth. And he rejoiced. But we, though Jesus does not walk on the earth, but we have recorded historical documents that have told us his life. And we get to see his death. We get to see his resurrection. We get to see the reality that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We get the word of hope that he's coming again and will come back for his people. We get to see that. We get to see that. He didn't get to see the cross. We get to see the cross. He didn't get to know about the resurrection. We get to know about the resurrection. He didn't get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we have been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. How much more should we rejoice in the day? So in the Christmas season, what do you see when you see Jesus? Do you see just the different puzzle pieces scattered? Or do you see the whole picture coming together? Do you see Jesus as who he is? You see, when I see the manger, I see the Messiah appointed for all mankind. When I see the baby, I see the bread of life who gives all who are starving, makes them satisfied. When I see Mary's son, I see man's salvation, who's willing to forgive all who will confess their sin. And when I see the child, I see the Christ who is coming back for all who believe in him. Now, what do you see? In this Christmas, we have many nativity scenes. We've put puzzles together of nativity scenes. And as the pieces have come together, and you see the baby Jesus there in the manger, surrounded by the shepherds, heralded by the angels, what do you see? Do you just see a baby being born? Or do you see Christ Messiah or Christ Anointed One? When you see Jesus, what do you see? This morning, we're going to have a time of invitation. Yeah, on a Christmas morning, we're going to have a time to come and come to the altar, maybe give praise for who Jesus is, maybe just thank him, maybe we see him. Do you see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you see him perfect, sinless, who was crucified on a cross, placed in a tomb, rose again on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, and waiting for the next word from his Father to say, it's time. It's time. When the trumpet sound rings out, will you know him? This morning, let me ask you this question. Have you come to the point in your life where you have seen salvation when you look at Jesus? Have you experienced his grace? Have you experienced his mercy? Has there been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I've sinned. I've fallen short. I'm not perfect. I need your grace and your mercy. Would you forgive me my sin? Be my Lord, be my God. Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you knelt at the scene of the manger? Because that's just not a baby. That's just not a child. And this is just not a story that's made up. This is the reality of God coming down so that we might have life. And this morning, if you've never received the grace of God, I'm going to ask you, would you come this morning and receive his mercy? And for those of us who have experienced his grace, I'm going to ask you to give him praise and give him thanks for the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, the forgiveness of all your sin. Amen. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking the veil from our eyes and enlightening our hearts and our minds to see you for who you truly are, that Jesus is the Messiah, Lord, Redeemer, Savior, King. He is the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that if there's someone here that has never professed their faith in you, that today they would see you and they would see your salvation and they might respond by faith to you. And for those of us who know you, Lord, may we continue to give you praise. May we continue to behold you and look upon you so that we might be transformed into the people that you called us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand.